He's a good, good God. The gospel is good, good news. To give our good God praise. God is a good, he's a good, good God. The gospel is good, good news. To give our good God praise. Today is a good day. To give our good God praise. Amen. Amen. Y'all awake out there? Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. He's been good to us today. We have an opportunity to be back in his house tonight. And we are thankful for that. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us tonight. Brother Ceylon, would you lead us as we pray? Church, would you stand, join the choir tonight, turn to page 139, and let's sing the first and the last of At Calvary. All right, here we go now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me. Salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found.
Seated choir, you can be seated. Turn with me over to page number 333. You might not be able to sing it sitting down. We'll find that out in a minute. Page 333, and let's sing, I'll Fly Away. All right, sing now.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Let's just sing it all on the second now.
When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away.
Just
a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I
One of these days, I'll fly away from here, and we'll be headed home. But it is good to see you. If them songs keep getting higher, I might go ahead and fly away anyway. The older I get, the higher they get, Brother Don. But we are thankful to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. And some are out traveling and doing different things today. So please remember them. The Lord bring them home safely. But it is good to see you here tonight. And if you're visiting here with us, you're our special guest. Thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. It's been a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And what a great message this morning on the great carpenter. Man, that was a great message, Pastor. And we thank you for being obedient to the Spirit. And so just continue to let that dwell on your mind and on your heart through the day and through the week. And some things have come back to my mind from the message this morning. But let's go to him again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Pray for Pastor. Pray for the offering. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
as sorrows and fears pass away, heartaches soon vanish, and burdens can't stay, for the heart that's been broken and wounded by sin, there is healing when you call on His name.
At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin's chains are broken, the captive set free. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, hell trembles and Satan must flee.
He shall return some glad day, a blessed appearing for those who confess Him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power of His name.
At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin's chains are broken, the captive hell trembles and Satan must flee. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin's chains are broken, the captive set free.
Sing today, choir.
Appreciate you being here today, this morning, and of course this evening. And we got something special we want to do for you before I preach this evening. And pay attention to the words of this song and the visual story that goes with it on the TVs. This is an introduction to my message tonight.
You were 43 when you got the news. Life will be changing, nothing we can do. The clock is ticking now, all I can think about is knowing I have to move on without you somehow.
And I just can't believe that you're the one who's keeping it together. As you hold my hand and say, it's okay to cry, it's okay to fall apart. You don't have to try to be strong when you are not. And it may take some time to make sense of all your thoughts, but don't ever fight your tears, 'cause there is freedom in every drop. Sometimes the only way to heal a broken heart is when we fall apart. You asked me to sing some songs that I wrote. I can barely speak, barely play a note. All my tears rushing, falling on my strings, and make the sound of these progressions have a different ring. And I hate to say goodbye, knowing this will be the last time we're together. As you close your eyes and say, it's okay to cry, it's okay to fall apart. You don't have to try to be strong when you are not. And it may take some time to make sense of all your thoughts, but don't ever fight your tears, 'cause there is freedom in every drop. Sometimes the only way to heal a broken heart when we fall apart. It's been a while since you've been gone. Sometimes I still catch myself trying to call your phone. All the hopes and dreams we used to talk about, they're still alive in me, and I just hope I make you proud. Now I'm your legacy, and it's your love still holding me together. And I still hear you say, it's okay to cry, it's okay to fall apart. You don't have to try to be strong when you are not. And it may take some time to make sense of all your thoughts, but don't ever fight your tears, 'cause there is freedom in every drop. Sometimes the only way to heal a broken heart is when we fall apart. Sometimes the only way to heal a broken heart is when we fall apart.
Son who actually lost his mother due to cancer, I believe it was, and just holding it in, those emotions, the grief, and going through the pill bottles there, the medicine she was on. He began to cry, and much of that song, the message was, it's okay to cry. It's okay to fall apart. I want to tell you why tonight it's okay to cry and fall apart. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It's okay tonight to fall apart. In fact, the Lord wants you to fall apart in His hands. while we seem to have it all together, and we may be at times resisting what's going on in our life, the Bible tells us to be tender towards Him. Job says that He softened my heart to serve. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. There are more people than we realize that are experiencing emotional pain in our world, our community, and churches. I mean, we come in to church three times a week. We go to school, we go to work, and most of the time we have a smile on our face. But just because, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, just because someone's smiling, it doesn't mean they're not grieving. Just because someone's smiling, it doesn't mean they're not discouraged or depressed. That's why it's so, that's why it should be on our priority list as a believer to greet each other with edification, to have words of encouragement and not discouragement to one another. It's so important. We just don't know where one another's at. Let us be encouragers tonight. Let us edify one another. And so, statistically, 17.3 million adults had at least one major depressive episode last year. When I say depressive episode, I'm, again, not referring to discouragement. That's the absence of courage. We still move forward, although we're discouraged. We just work on our courage part. We try to gain courage. But when someone's depressed, they stop. There is a time and place in their life where they say, I just can't do it anymore. And they stop. Their life is on pause. Many people who are depressed are reclusive. They withdraw themselves from people, places, or things. 1 in 20 children were found to have anxiety or depression in a single year. These numbers have definitely went up. 40 million adults are affected by anxiety disorders and depression annually. And tonight, I believe one of the remedies to all of this anxiety, to all of this depression, one of the remedies, something that God has designed our bodies to do, you ready for it? Is to cry. Is to cry. Now, this message is for all of us, but it may just be to someone that needs to cry tonight. Professionals say that crying releases something called oxytocin and endorphins in the brain. These are the feel-good chemicals that can help ease both physical and emotional pain. You see somebody in pain and they reach that point of crying, then they've reached a point where they're wanting some pain relief. I could tell you one time I had an abscess. It was about 4 or 5 years ago in October, actually. Lord, don't let me have another abscess. It's October. But I can remember I took all the medicine you could take, all the pain medicine you could take, everything you could take, and just to touch my face, it hurt. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. I got a little emotional. I mean, I was begging for relief. Sometimes physical pain, our bodies are conditioned to release. Emotional pain, we're upset. There's something going on in our life. There is some kind of challenge. There's something in our family, something we're dealing with. There's that emotional pain. There's anxiety, there's stress, there's discouragement, there's depression, and we want to get emotional. And we allow the world to tell us, big boys and big girls, don't cry. Be tough. Don't cry. Hold it in. That's not true tonight. Somebody needs to cry tonight. There may be some people who need to cry. You're going through some kind of emotional roller coaster. Can I tell you, God has designed your body to let loose some tears. So tonight I want to advocate crying. I just want to advocate crying. And once the body starts to release this oxytocin and endorphins, those feel-good chemicals, as I said a moment ago, can help ease both physical and emotional pain. And once released, your body can go into a numb stage. You ever talk to somebody that's been crying a long time? And you say, how are you feeling? I'm just feeling numb. That's a real thing. There's a lot of people who are crying because they're in physical pain. And then a lot of people who are crying because of the emotional pain. And it literally releases chemicals in your body and it leaves you feeling numb. It's God's way of helping you get through your heartache. This can give you a sense of calm and well-being crying. Now we know tonight the Holy Spirit is our comforter, but God created us to be able to cry. When I was the building and grounds man over at Floyd Road, I was the building and grounds man for 6 years, going on 20. And I would vacuum the sanctuary and clean the bathrooms and cut the grass and adjust the thermostat, you know, and open and close. Did that for 6 years. First 6 years of our marriage, actually. And I remember on Mondays, I would go to the sanctuary and I'd be picking up the bulletins and cleaning up. And then we had altars, like above ground altars there at Floyd Road, little benches. People could kneel and pray. Something we may be doing here in the future, adding to, putting a couple altars down here so you don't have to kneel on the steps. But anyway, I would see the altars, and a glare would be coming upon the altar from the light, and I seen all these little dots on the altar. And I said, well, let me get down there and clean that. And then I got to thinking about it, and I looked, and it hit me what those were. Those were tears on the altar. They were tears. And the tears from people being moved in church. Not many people cry in our day because by the world and society we're taught that real men and women don't cry. But I want to tell you, that's far from biblical truth. It's okay to cry. It's okay to fall apart as long as you fall apart in the hands of Jesus. In fact, he wants us to be pliable in his hands. Not only is he the carpenter, but he's the potter. And he has us on his will. And if we stiffen up to him, then the pounding's a bit rougher. Sometimes that potter has to start over on the clay. But if we're pliable and we're loose in the potter's hands, he can mold us and shape us into what he wants us to be. So I remember that from the tears on the altars over there at Floyd Road. That always stuck with me. Tonight, I want to give you some things, some simple things that pertain to crying in the Bible, and I hope it's a help to you as you start your brand new week. Number one, the Savior cried. The Savior cried. Turn, if you would, to John 11, verse number 35. The Savior cried. And if the Savior cried, we can cry. John 11, verse 35. Somebody just quote it for me, Brother Ceylon. How about that? Jesus wept. The God-man wept. Our Savior wept. You say, why did Jesus cry? Why did he weep? Many people have their explanations of this, but first let me say this before I give you my explanation. Jesus, the God-man, was 100% God and 100% man. Therefore, he, because of his manhood, was not immune to sorrow and grief. Jesus felt what the people felt. In different places in the gospel, you'll find instances where Jesus was touched by someone's infirmity. In one place, Jesus stood still. Here, Jesus wept. In another place, Jesus saw their faith. We serve a God and a Savior tonight who feels what we feel. Hebrews 4:15, don't turn there. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We have someone who feels. We got a feel God. Muhammad don't feel. Buddha don't feel. Confucius don't feel. And sometimes even our friends and family have a hard time feeling what we're feeling. But God feels what you feel tonight. And because of that, I say, why don't you cry unto Him? Why don't you cry unto Him? We see the Savior cried, and I'll tell you, a couple reasons why I believe He cried was because of the people's unbelief. Lazarus was dead. Verse number 32, the Bible says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There's this if factor here. And Mary was caught up in the if factor. Has anybody ever wondered in life sometimes, well, if this was different, if this didn't happen, then I could have done this, or this would have been better. Listen, Jesus is still the same. He has the power to take things that have been messed up. He has the ability to take situations that are problematic to us and work all things together for good and do something great. But Mary wasn't thinking about that. She was heartbroken and she was grieving over the loss of her brother. And she told Jesus, verse number 33 says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I believe He saw her weeping, He saw the Jews weeping, and it made Him weep. Have you ever seen somebody cry before that was just devastated? And did it make you cry? I don't know about you, but when I see people cry, sometimes it makes me cry. Now, I want to say something, and God knows my heart. Back a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, I couldn't stop crying when I preached. I mean, I couldn't get through a sermon without falling apart. And I asked the Lord, I said, now God, I'm walking away from church with my heart full of preaching, and I can't get through it. Only a few years ago, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me on my crying. You're going to have to help me on my crying. And I asked the Lord to help me not cry so I could preach. And I look back, Brother Ceylon, and you can say, you know, church, you can say what you want to say. This is my walk with God, and I know I'm advocating crying, and I guess what I'm saying is that the Lord, I can't remember the last time I've cried preaching. Is that something wrong with me? No, God answered my prayer because He is helping me do what He's called me to do. But tonight, even myself, it wouldn't be bad from time to time for me to find a spot and just do some crying. Crying over souls that are lost and crying over church members that are at odds. Crying over families that are being devastated by things. But we see here that Mary, she cried, and Jesus cried. I believe one reason why Jesus cried here was because of unbelief or doubt, that she was doubting of Him and what He could do. Also, I believe Jesus was crying because He had compassion toward the bereaved. He cried because she cried. Whatever you feel about this account here, we know at the end of the day that the Savior cried, and because He cried, we can cry. When's the last time you've cried? We see the Savior cried, but then number two, many servants cried in the Bible. I'll just give it to you. I got a lot of places to turn. And in Ruth chapter number 1, just listen to this. In Ruth chapter number 1, I can find my way there. Ruth chapter number 1, when I keep on saying that, I'm not there yet. Ruth chapter number 1. In verse number 9, listen to this. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Naomi was, she was there in Moab. Naomi was. Her husband was there. Her two kids were there. You know the story. Her husband died, and then her children died, Mahlon and Chilion. And then the two wives were left of the kids. Naomi got word that there was bread back in Bethlehem from which she came, and she was going back. And so the daughters-in-law here, again, verse number 9, the Lord grant you, she tells them, that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Ruth and Orpha, they wept. They didn't want Naomi to leave them. In fact, we see that Ruth, she clave to Naomi. And we know that when they went back to Bethlehem, in verse number 20, they were saying, "This is Naomi." And Naomi said in verse 20, and she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dwelt very bitterly with me." Mara means bitter. And the Bible says, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." And so there was a lot of crying there in the book of Ruth. So there were women who cried. There was Ruth who cried. And of course, Naomi was bitter. Orpha cried. But then someone else cried by the name of Hannah. Hannah cried as well. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 7. Listen to this. "And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." What does that mean, Brother Justin? Well, we know they would go to the house of the Lord year by year. And we know Hannah was had Elkanah as a husband, but also there was Peninnah as well. There was Peninnah. God never allowed being married to multiple wives, but it happened in those days. And so there was Hannah and there was Peninnah. Peninnah could bear kids, but Hannah could not bear kids. You know what Peninnah did to Hannah? "Na, na, na, boo, boo. Ha, ha, ha. I bear my husband, excuse me, our husband kids, and you can't. Ha, 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 na, 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 boo, boo." That's basically what she did. She taunted her. She picked on her. She bullied her. And Hannah, her heart was so heavy. She wanted a man child so bad, she just let the tears flood the altar. In fact, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." Crying's one thing. Weeping sore is another thing. Weeping sore is when you cry so much you can't cry anymore. You strained your vocal cords. You have emptied your heart. You've poured out your soul. There's nothing left. I believe there needs to be some weep soaring and some big crying in our day. I think we cry halfway at times if we cry at all. I think we need to come to the altar, some of us, and just let it out. Let our hearts out. Just weep sore. "God, forgive me not for not being the servant I should be, the dad, the husband, the pastor, the friend. Oh, Lord, please forgive me and help me be better." Verse number 11 says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That's part of the Nazarite vow. And so Hannah cried. While she was being picked on, Ruth cried. She lost her husband, but then we know that Esther cried. We won't turn there, but in Esther chapter number 8 and verse number 3, Esther cried to the king over Haman's evil plot. Haman was trying to get the Jews killed, and Esther approached the king, and she said within herself, "If I perish, I perish. But I want to stand in the gap for the people." A type of mediator. A type of intercessor, Esther was. We have a whole other picture in that of the Lord Jesus Christ in the ministry of intercessor prayer, intercessory prayer. But she cried, she wept, and it broke her heart. We see many women servants of God in the Bible, they cried, but there's also some men that cried as well. Job 16:20, listen to this. I'm just going to give it to you. Job 16:20, "My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God." Job's friend says, "You're a sinner. That's why you're suffering." Job said, "You're miserable comforters. You're supposed to come and comfort me, and you're saying that I'm a sinner and I've sinned and God is judging me." If you know anything about Job, in Job chapter 1, verse 1, he was an upright man. He was just, one who shunned evil. The Bible says he was perfect, but not without, not talking about sinless perfection. It just means he was mature. He was spiritually minded. He was the leader of his house, and he was a great man of God. His friends were pointing the finger and laughing, or not laughing, but they were scorning him, so to speak. "My friend scorned me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God." Job cried. Joseph cried. You remember that in Genesis chapter number 43? We know what happened. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. Joseph was sold into slavery. You know the story. He was cast into prison in Potiphar's house. He was lied upon. But God gave him a dream way before all of that. He said, "There's going to come a day when your brothers are going to bow down to you and make obeisance to you." And God kept his word. There came a day when Joseph was made overseer of all of Israel to preserve, the Bible says in Genesis 45, 7, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance and to be leader of Israel." So Joseph now has opportunity to return evil for evil. His brothers are in the land, and Joseph has opportunity to kill, to slay, to betray, to withhold food. But the Bible says in Genesis 43, verse 30, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother Benjamin. And he sought where to weep." Listen, Joseph was so moved at this situation. He had opportunity to do right or wrong. He saw Benjamin, and he was about to bust out crying. And he was just running. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe it was a public setting and your feelings were so hurt that you were looking for somewhere to cry? I mean, you were just so moved that you were just looking for somewhere so nobody could see you, so you could just break down and cry. I remember when I first started preaching. Hard to believe that was right at 20 years ago. Been saved going on 22 years. started preaching just after I got saved. But I remember, Nancy, Bobby, y'all remember the youth Sunday nights, preacher boy nights. Brother Berman would sit on the stage. My goodness, I was nervous. Still get nervous, but I know who does the preaching 20 years later. And so I can confide in that and it not bother me. He said, okay, come on, Justin, let it rip. And I mean, oh my goodness. You know, Ford Road compared to this church, big building. Back then, there was a lot of people. And I get up and And listen, I'm dependent upon the Lord tonight as much as I was then, because I know how my flesh is, and I can get timid in a heartbeat. My mind can go somewhere, and I can get inside my own head, and I wouldn't have the ability to open this Bible tonight. And so I'm totally dependent on the Lord. But I remember one night I got up. I mean, I just read my outline, and I was done like 5 minutes or less. And I went back, and I sat down. I was so disappointed. Another young guy got up, and he preached the house down. I thought, oh, my Lord. People are like, amen. I could hear a pin drop when I preached. I wanted to be able to preach, connect, help. So I got up during his message, and I left, and I went home. We lived right next door. And I went into my barn, the barn in the back, and I just wept. And I wept, Brother Ceylon. I said, God, you got a sense of humor calling me to preach. Oh, my Lord, I am never going to pick up a Bible and open it and claim I'm a preacher again. I am never going to stand before people and try to speak on your behalf. Never. Cried and cried and cried. And to make it even worse, and I know Miss Nancy knows what I'm talking about. I say Nancy because she worked there in the office as well, secretary, for a number of years. I'd have to walk back in that church on Monday morning. And everybody's like, you did a great job, Brother Justin. And I'm like, I know you're lying. But I know you love me. You're trying to be supportive. Nancy and Carol and Brother Collins, Keith Collins, and oh, yeah. I could feel it like it was yesterday. And if I can be honest, I will never forget that. I will never forget how I did. And I don't ever forget the love and support, Miss Nancy, Bobby. Miss Nancy was part of the reason that I went to seminary. I didn't want to go, did I? Didn't I? I didn't want to go. And I don't talk about my seminary experience. But every now and again, I like to take it out and talk about it and wave it at the devil and say, this old boy did do some good by the help of God. I don't tell people I got an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a doctorate degree. I don't go around saying that. But you know what? Every now and again, Brother Thielon, it feels good. It feels so good to say that. You're looking at a high school dropout that was on drugs, my friend. God got a hold of me, and he saved me, and I went back and finished my education and felt the call to preach, and because of one or two secretaries that wouldn't leave me alone, and my wife that wouldn't leave me alone, and God that wouldn't leave me alone, I enrolled in Bible college. And listen, all these years later, I'm still trying to figure out how to preach, but at least I can walk away and feel like I did something when I preach. But I do not forget the tears. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Just remember, those tears you're sowing tonight are indeed seeds. You're sowing seeds tonight. You're weeping over a loved one. You're weeping over a friend. You're weeping over something in your life that isn't going right. Keep on weeping. Don't stop crying, because they're seeds. And God's going to turn that thing around one day and allow the sun to shine on you once again. Amen? Amen. And so we see that Joseph, he cried. Job cried. Hezekiah cried. Hezekiah cried. Remember King Hezekiah? He cried over in 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings 20, listen to this. in verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die, not live. What if someone came to your house and said, Good morning, mister. Good morning, ma'am. God sent me here to say, Put your house in order because you're about to die. Wow. I mean, you'd have to think about that for a minute. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Oh, God. I don't want to die, Lord. I got so much to live for. Lord, please don't let me die. Please give me another day with my family. Please give me another day to serve you. Please give me another day to make an impact. When he understood that he was getting ready to die, it brought him face to face with that reality. It'll do us all some good this Sunday night to realize there is just but a step between us and death. What makes you think you're going to make it to school tomorrow? What makes you think you're going to make it to work tomorrow? What makes you think you're going to make it to the coffee pot right when the news comes on in the morning? What makes you think that? Because it's been happening all these years in your life. I hope your tomorrow does come. I hope mine comes. But if we would just live like Hezekiah lived, in a place of eagerness and earnestness to live and do all we can for the Lord, God might move things in our life a bit. Verse number 3, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah wept sore. He wept sore. Get on down to verse number 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Hezekiah, you're going to make it to church Sunday. I heard your prayer. I seen your tears. Listen, God will hear such a prayer, and He definitely will see your tears, but you got to let them out. You got to let them out. You got to talk to Him so He can hear you, and you've got to cry so He can see you, see your tears. He knows what we're thinking. He knows how we're feeling. Sometimes He just wants to hear it. Christy knows I love her so much. Lily knows I love her so much. And because they know I love them so much, I don't ever have to tell them, right? Sometimes they just want to hear it. They just want to hear it. Christy, I love you so much. Lily, I love you so much, honey. I could just go through life and just let them know that I love them so much, or I could tell them how much I love them. Jesus knew. Listen, the Lord knew Hezekiah's situation. The Lord knew that Hezekiah was getting ready to die. The Lord knew all these things, and He knew his heart, but He just wanted to hear it. Maybe your turning point could actually start when you start to cry. I think it's time that somebody does a little crying. There's some tears we cry that are sorrowful. There's other tears we cry that are of joy. I already read you the verse, but Psalm 126, verse 5, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Tears are seeds. Farmers know a lot about seeds and the hard work that goes into farming. Farmers stay burdened because they're relying upon the rain after the hard work and the tilling of the ground and the planting of the seeds, and they're waiting upon the rains. I mean, before this hurricane came, there was such a drought. My backyard, I looked at it the other day, it was like this. I mean, there were spots, that grass couldn't stand anymore. It just, I mean, there's all these open, it just laid over and died. And so these farmers, they have a great deal of a burden upon their heart. And this is the implication here. Also, Israel, at a time in their life, they hung their harps upon the willows. The enemies required of them a song in a strange land. And they said, how can we sing a song in a strange land? We've hung up our harps. Sometimes God requires of us a song in a strange land. Not when we're feeling good, not when we're feeling great, but the Lord wants to hear us sing unto Him and testify and tell Him how much we love Him when things are bad. Because God has always been so good. That was Psalm 126, verse 5. We talked about the farmers being burdened, Israel hanging their harps, and then, of course, the mother who's in birth pains. She's in pain and she's crying and she's agonizing. But yet once the child comes, there's joy. One day the Lord Jesus Christ will come. We're living during the birth pain hour. We're living in the last days. We are living during spiritual contractions. Every time something's said about politics, I just listen carefully. That's a spiritual contraction. Every time something goes downhill in the USA, that's a spiritual contraction. Something overseas in Israel and other lands, things going on, those are spiritual contractions. And then one day that water is going to break and Jesus is going to come. He's going to call us out of here. And all the crying and all the weeping will be over because we'll be with Him. Amen. Just remember, child of God, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Many servants cried. The Savior cried. But our tears are saved when we cry. Psalm 56 for a moment. Psalm 56, listen to this. Verse number 8. Psalm 56, verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? This tells me that David was wanting God to record his tears, and he says that's in fact what he's doing. He says, Lord, I cry and I'm weeping sore. Will you please just bottle up my tears? Lord, I want to know that you are seeing what I'm going through and you're hearing my prayers. And so there's an imagery here of tears in a bottle. Maybe you've been doing some crying already. Maybe you have wept so much that your pillow is wet from the warm tears falling out of your eyes. I want to say there's not a tear that doesn't trickle down your face that God doesn't collect. He knows. He knows every tear that you cry. And He bottles those tears. God not only knows when we cry, but He records the events that lead up to the heartbreak. He has seen you when you rise. He knows when you're sitting. He understands your thoughts afar off. He sees your adversity. He knows your secret tears. He knows your struggles. And when you cry, there's a bottle of remembrance because God doesn't forget. He knows. He knows when you cry. Listen, one person said this, a commentator. God studies our heartbreak so that He can heal us, comfort us, and give us joy in the way that is unique. And sometimes during our heartache, and God studies our heartache, and He gives us a joy that's unique, can look like this: a phone call from a friend. Hey, just want to let you know I'm praying for you. I know you're going through a lot. I want you to know I love you. Sometimes it's through a card in the mail. Hadn't seen you at church lately, so I'll let you know the prayer team's praying for you.
Sometimes it's a visit. Sometimes it's a gift. And sometimes it's just being there. But God has a way of studying our heartbreak, and He knows exactly what the remedy is to fix it. Sometimes it's a friend that encourages, a co-worker, someone at school or church. The blessing is God knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. Again, Psalm 35 in verse number 18, He is near unto those who are of a broken heart, and save as such of a contrite spirit. That song we used to sing, your cry has awoken the master. Yeah. Your cry will awake the master. He's not sleeping. But that's how the story went. The disciples cried and he awoke. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Why was he sleeping? Because he wasn't worried. If he's not worried, we don't need to be. Easier preached than lived. But it is the answer. Well, let me mention one more thing. Not only our tears are saved when we cry, but we see the stop to our tears when we cry. There's coming a day when there's going to be no more tears. We alluded to it already, but we'll mention it again. Revelation 21 in verse number 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. There's coming a day when we won't have the ability to cry. Why? Because we'll be in a perfect place where there's no more heartbreak, no more heartache. But until then, God has equipped our bodies to shed tears. Jesus cried. Many of the servants in the Bible cried. He collects our tears when we cry. Praise the Lord, one day there will be no more crying. But until then, the message tonight is this. It's okay to cry. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that you'd move in the time of invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and do business with the Lord, you do that. Start the week off the right way as they sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Don't be embarrassed. That's why we're here.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Continuing to sing.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
Yep, we're saying it now.
My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. Behind me,
sing it before we leave
the
tonight.
Cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back.
Man, hey. Well, it's been a good day today from start to finish. Thank you so very much. All right. Appreciate the claps. Hey, that works. That work gets them. Yeah. All right. Hey, that gives me firepower for the next hour. So we appreciate you being here. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody has a great week. Just be safe out there. It's a crazy world. You know, if you have opportunity, tell somebody about the Lord. Be there for your families like you already are. Help us pray. I pray for you. You pray for me. And let's just see what the Lord does this week. Amen. Amen. All right. Tell you what, we'll be dismissing word of prayer. Everybody have a great evening. Brother Jeff Hodges, would you close us out, sir?